I want to zoom out to the question of institutional health, because the Secretary General race is happening at a moment when the UN's credibility as an effective organization is genuinely contested in ways that go beyond normal criticism.
The UN has always been criticized from multiple directions simultaneously, accused of being too interventionist by some and too passive by others, too dominated by Western powers on some issues and too deferential to autocracies on others. That dual criticism is almost a structural feature of any organization that tries to represent the full diversity of state interests. But there's a difference between normal criticism and a deeper question about whether the architecture still functions.
The Security Council's veto paralysis on Ukraine, where Russia blocked any meaningful collective security response because Russia is the P5 member in question, exposed a structural vulnerability that the Charter's designers were aware of but believed would be managed through great power political will. The assumption was that the P5 would have enough shared interest in international stability to exercise restraint. That assumption has been stress-tested severely.
And the Secretary General's role in that environment is genuinely constrained but not insignificant. The Secretary General doesn't have enforcement power. The UN has no army it can deploy unilaterally. But the Secretary General has the pulpit. They have the power to convene, to speak publicly, to shape the terms of international debate, to propose initiatives that might not get through the Security Council formally but can build political momentum. Dag Hammarskjöld called the role the most impossible job on Earth, and that was in 1953, before the Cold War peaked and before the proliferation of conflicts the institution now manages.
Guterres has been criticized by some for being too cautious in using the pulpit, particularly on the Russia-Ukraine situation, where he was seen as prioritizing access and mediation over moral clarity. Others credit him with keeping communication channels open in ways that prevented certain escalations. The incoming Secretary General will immediately face pressure to define their own posture, and the candidates' different backgrounds and temperaments suggest genuinely different approaches.
Bachelet, coming from a human rights background, would presumably prioritize moral clarity. Grossi, coming from a technical verification role, might prioritize precision and evidence. Greenspan, from a development economics background, might focus more on the structural economic inequality issues that underlie many of the conflicts the UN struggles to address. These aren't just style differences, they'd produce different institutional priorities and different allocations of Secretary General attention and political capital.
And the reform debate adds another layer. If the next Secretary General takes office while the voluntary veto suspension proposal has 121 country endorsements, they could choose to be a visible advocate for that initiative, or they could treat it as a political liability that would antagonize the P5 members they need to work with daily. That choice will tell us a great deal about what kind of Secretary General the winner intends to be.
The UN is 81 years old this year. Its core architecture, the Security Council, the General Assembly, the Secretariat, was designed in 1945 for a world that no longer exists. The reform conversation is fundamentally about whether an organization built for a bipolar world can adapt to effectively govern a multipolar one. The next Secretary General will spend their 5-year term either advancing or retreating from that challenge.